It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Well, it's hard to believe it's already May 18th and 19th. The year is flying by. It just seemed like we were talking about winter and the cold spring, and now we're already in mid-May. Big shout out to my running friends who ran in the Canterbury Shaker Village Cross Country 5K, and that was Saturday, May 11th. We had a great turnout as part of the Capital Hill Race Series, and then a bunch of us did on Mother's Day, Moms on the Run 5K in Dover. So upcoming, and we'll have a show on this, we have the Mount Washington Roan Race over Father's Day weekend, and so we will have the Mount Washington, Northeast Delta Dental Mount Washington Road Race team come to a future show, and we'll talk about that race. But this weekend is all about back to home base, back to dentistry. And with me this weekend is a frequent guest, Dr. Bob Urban, one of our great dentist colleagues who works with me at Northeast Delta Dental. And Bob, thank you for joining me this weekend, May 18th and 19th. How has your spring been going?
We've been great. We've been great. Thanks again for the offer. Always nice to get in here and talk to you.
So remind the listening audience, you have been a practicing dentist. You're consultant at Northeast Delta Dental. You've taught and teach at Tufts Dental School. So tell us about your background, then we'll get right into today's topic, which is mouthguards.
Well, originally a Massachusetts guy. I went to UMass Amherst, got a bachelor's degree there, got my DMD from Tufts, did a residency at Philadelphia General Hospital, which is a Penn teaching hospital. Private practice 25 years. I'm coming up on 49 years of teaching at Tufts. And I'm a clinical professor at Tufts, certified dental consultant with Delta. And I am a consultant with the CDCA, which is the licensing, which is the examination arm of the licensing boards of dental licensure throughout the country.
So you fly around a lot. Let's stop there for a second. Tell us what you've seen and kind of the trend with the new graduates. Obviously, they're qualified and have to, you know, pass the exams and so forth. But obviously, there's a higher woman gender component, number one. But what other trends have you seen in your 50 years?
Well, yeah, I do fly around a lot. I'm probably on an airplane at least once a month. I just came back from Arizona. I'm going to University of Detroit on Monday. So I get to see really great universities, great schools, Ohio State, University of Pennsylvania, NYU, University of Michigan. So I'm all over the place. And it's fun to see the different schools and the different makeups of the schools. Just to give you a historical perspective, when I graduated from Tufts, we had 104 students in the class with 104 males. And now most of the classes are about 53% female. So there's a huge gender change. And there's also a change in ethnic. Most of the people in my class were Jewish, Italian, Irish, mostly immigrant kids from immigrant families from one or two generations ago. And now it's changing. You see a whole array of international type students.
That's wonderful. And I was just at the, last fall we were at the Tufts 150th anniversary, and it was great to see. They had a lot of students, you know, helping out, and it was just great seeing the awesome diversity. So we'll get back to that, but let's switch gears to mouthguard. Early this year, we had Dr. Brian Horsterver on, and we talked about this relative to some of the projects that he's working on. But tell us why you think mouthguards are important for weekend athlete, but also, you know, an athlete, you know, high school soccer player, football player, et cetera.
Well, I have some of the stats from the American Dental Association, and one of the stats that's pretty amazing is that 200,000 injuries are prevented by using mouth guards per year in high school and college each year. And the interesting discrepancy is in football, where mouth guards are mandatory, there's only 0.07% injuries. In basketball, where it's not mandatory, it's 34%. I played a lot of basketball when I played 4 years in high school and a lot more basketball, and I'll tell you what, I took more than one elbow to the face. And not wearing a mouth guard now in basketball is just foolish. And you see the pros have them now a lot. Now kids will follow when you see that.
Yeah, we want our professional athletes to be role models. One of the things I always found a little bit disconcerting is watching the soccer players on the high school field when I was following my kids. You know, half the time they were chewing on their mouth guard or was out of their mouth. So that gets to kind of my second question, which is kind of the importance of perhaps investing in the customized mouth guard versus the ones, you know, you get in the drugstore and you dip into hot water. Because one of the things I know, when I play racquetball, I use a fitted mouth guard, and literally you can't even feel that it's in there and you're breathing normally. So tell us the importance of a customized mouth guard.
Well, again, the criteria the ADA calls for mouth guards is they should be protective, comfortable, resilient, tear-resistant, odorless, tasteless, not bulky, minimal interference with speaking, and excellent retention. Now, my son was in prep school and playing football. I had made him a mouth guard. He's in a gagger, unfortunately, so he cut most of it back. But being a quarterback, I noticed most of the time the mouth guard was in his helmet because he felt like he really couldn't yell out signals and stuff with it, which obviously didn't make his dad very happy. But luckily, he didn't have any, other than some black eyes and stuff, he didn't have any dental injuries. And interestingly enough, the ADA projects that a young Avol's tooth, a tooth that's come out or broken, the lifetime costs of that tooth can go anywhere from $10,000 to $15,000 per tooth over the lifetime of that tooth. And there's nothing like your own tooth. But this may, you may end up with a root canal, you may end up with a crown, you may end up losing the tooth, you may end up with an implant. So it can get costly.
So that's that regression, which we've talked about on other shows, you know. And you know, we go from a two-surface filling to a crown to an implant to et cetera. So same thing applies here. So why do you think there's some reluctance? I know there's, you know, obviously a price tag associated. We, you know, Northeast Dental Dental, some of our plans do have a mouth guard rider, but generally they're not covered by, you know, by dental insurance. But I'm assuming, you know, $130 investment in a fitted mouth guard done by your professional dentist is going to be a lot safer than a, you know, a $2 drugstore model.
Well, there's no question about that because I mentioned the criteria before. There's two other types of mouth guards that are in vogue. The stock mouth guard, which is $3 to $25, so you can get them at Dick's Sporting Goods or stores like that. The ones that boil those, you put the plastic in and boil them and conform them to your teeth, and those are a little bit better. But why? I would assume that it's probably the economics and also the inconvenience of having to make an appointment and go to a dentist and get an impression. But as you said, Tom, it's well worth it because the long-term sequelae of losing a tooth or breaking a tooth is expensive and disfiguring. It can be disfiguring.
So tell us about if you do get a tooth injured or soft tissue injury, what if you're a mom or dad at the field and you see the tooth lying on the ground or some other tooth injury, what's your first sort of course of action there?
Well, things have changed in that regard. It used to be that you'd want to wash the tooth off, and now what they're saying is basically don't touch the tooth. Either you pick it up, don't put it in water. If there's milk available, that's great. If not, the best place for the tooth is right between your teeth and your cheek. Just place it in there so it's a warm environment, and just get the tooth to the dentist as soon as possible. Used to be that we were told you take the tooth and actually do a root canal right in your hand on the tooth and then reimplant the tooth. I think now the state of the art is to just try to implant the tooth and see what happens, and perhaps the root canal needs to be done later on, but you can do it in the mouth.
Tell us also about soft tissue injuries.
Well, soft tissue and also hard tissue injuries. Mouth guards are really, really important for that. It can protect your brain, believe it or not. And how does it do that? Well, if you take a really good hit to your jaw, your condyle will fly right up into into the fossa, which is part of the brain. And that can cause trauma to the brain. It can cause trauma to the TMJ, which ultimately could end up in TMD dysfunction. So the softness of the guard will kind of cushion that. So there are a lot of other aspects of wearing a mouth guard than just saving the teeth.
You used two terms there, TMJ and TMD. Could you explain those?
Well, TMJ was the older term, temporomandibular junction joint. TMD is temporomandibular dysfunction, and that seems to be the term that people are using now. They're basically interchangeable.
So let's, before we go to commercial break, we'll touch on concussions. Obviously, that's a real relevant topic. Very, very relevant in hockey and the National Football League and basketball, and people go on concussion protocol pretty routinely, and people are taking this, you know, really seriously now. And I know that you know, there's some science that suggests, and I know Dr. Hoischdorfer mentioned it, that you know, a good fitted customized mouth guard can help. And then, you know, I know I've talked to other physicians that said the science doesn't support that. So what's your position on mouth guards and concussions?
It's like chicken soup. It can't hurt. I think that there's a lot of preventive aspects to that. That softness will take the brunt of the hit that you had taken to your face or your mandible, and so that those vibrations won't go all the way up into the TMJ and into the brain. So I haven't read the scientific papers on that, but I can't see how that can it can hurt.
Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Tom Raffia with Dr. Bob Urban this weekend, May 18th and 19th. Thanks again to my running friends for participating in the Canterbury Shaker Village 5K, which was on Saturday, May 11th. And upcoming, we have the Over in the River and Through the Woods race, which will be, again, part of the Capital Area race series. But today's topic is on oral health, specifically mouth guards, and then we'll segue into some other things. But Bob, tell us in your experience. I mean, obviously, you've been teaching and practicing for nearly five decades. You've probably seen some traumatic cases, you know, over the years. And tell us maybe some sort of analogy. You know, could mouth guards, you know, have prevented some of this?
When I was talking about mouth guards just not protecting anterior teeth, I had a patient who was in a severe auto accident, and she had a lot of facial injuries. But one of the things that had happened is her two jaws came together in a violent fashion, and what happened is her posterior teeth, her molars and bicuspids, came together and just sheared off pieces of tooth. Now, I'm not recommending that you be wearing a mouth guard in the car, but those are the types of blows that the athletes will take. And when that happens and the two jaws come together, you can just destroy posterior teeth. In this specific case, I ended up doing a ton of crowns on this woman, and certainly that probably could not have been preventable, but in athletic endeavors, I'm sure it could be. Had another young hockey player who was a tall kid for him, for his age, and hockey players wear those masks and guards and everything, but he did not have a mouth guard in, and he was so tall that one of the other kids came up underneath his cage with a stick and took out one of his front teeth. If he had had a mouth guard, even though he had the cage, that probably would have been preventable. So I ended up, I think it was, we ended up doing at least a crown, maybe a root canal. I can't remember right now. But these are things that could be prevented with a with mouth guards, sure.
Great. So I'm going to put a plug in for going to your dentist and getting a fitted mouth guard. I know, again, when I play racquetball and I have a fitted mouth guard, I'm breathing normally, I'm talking normally, I'm not taking it out, and basically it's been, it makes you more secure. And again, this is long ago, but when I used to follow my sons playing soccer and I would see them, you know, a lot of the players, you know, just basically, you know, spitting out the mouth guard or just, chewing on it. It was so frustrating because, I think I'm, putting in a plug for, customized mouth guards. Let's segue a little bit, Bob. So you teach, you have taught at Tufts, for many years. With technology, have teaching approaches changed? Is there more modeling? And the other question I have, too, is are we spending more time on, preventative and less on, practicing drilling and filling and that type of thing?
Yeah, I mean, there has been for years the preventive phase of dentistry, probably starting with fluoridation, which was probably the greatest preventer of dental decay. I think there's more and more emphasis today on periodontal health. Many people lose their teeth from periodontal disease. And of course, the technology is changing rapidly. Digital x-rays and various markers, they can, DNA markers and things like that, they can analyze saliva and stuff that just wasn't around when I was in dental school. And it's certainly becoming more sophisticated in that regard, and there's more to learn now.
And as the student is finishing up his or her program, are they taking any, for lack of a better term, business courses in terms of, okay, now I'm graduating, do I buy into my uncle's practice? Do I buy a practice? Do I go work for a dental service, operation and so forth? Are they training the young students on sort of the real world of business too?
Sadly, not a whole lot. There are maybe a lecture here or there, and there's not a whole lot that's in the curriculum itself. There will be people that come in, lawyers, accountants, insurance people that may come in after hours, 7 o'clock in the evening or something, to give a optional lecture to some of the students. But they're still pretty much on their own on a lot of this stuff. They get a lot of mentoring from people like me that's out on the clinic floor. People will ask questions and certainly try to steer them in the right direction. It's a very, very expensive education, and they've got to get to work, and they've got to find a situation where they can make some money.
Yeah, and let's pause there. So probably the average Tufts Dental School graduate, when he or she graduates, probably has a couple hundred thousand dollars in debt, would you imagine?
Oh, at least, yeah. I wrote a paper on that about 3 years ago, presented in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And it's not unusual for Tufts Dental School costs approximately $500,000 that's all in with housing, and Boston is an expensive city. There are schools that are obviously cheaper than that. The state schools, Tufts is being a private school. That's different.
And one of the things we do at Northeast Delta Dental, we combine with Tufts Dental School to create the Northeast Delta Dental Endowed Scholarship Fund. And so, New Hampshire students are eligible, for it. And for example, Ashley Mullaney was one of the recipients. And I know you're going to be going down soon to recognize those students. So thank you, Bob, for representing Northeast Delta Dental. Do you think the fact that this debt, do you think that is sort of leading towards more students graduating and saying, okay, I'm going to go work for Aspen or group practice because I have to pay back the $200,000 or $300,000, and so I don't necessarily have a down payment to own my own practice. Do you think that's facilitating that trend to getting away from individual practitionerships to more group practices?
Yeah, absolutely. It's very, if anybody comes out with $500,000 in debt and then they have to set up a practice for another $500,000, I mean, their cash flow is going to be tough. If they opened up from scratch with no patients, it's almost impossible today. It's something that I did, but I don't think it can happen today. So you're either going to work for a DSO or look for a practice to buy, maybe with someone else, or to associate with someone with a possible buy-in. That's absolutely a different world. And the technology being what it is, you can't just set up a practice for $25,000 like I did. It's more like $250
or $500. So DSO, that's dental service operation, and they range from, you know, organizations like Aspen to other organizations that do the back room, you know, functions, you know, for the dental office, which allows the the dentist, you know, to focus on dentistry. Let's switch gears a little bit to our great program called Health Through Oral Wellness. And the vast majority, nearly all of our group plans and most of our individual plans on DeltaDentalCoversMe.com we've added this benefit called HOW or Health Through Oral Wellness, where when you as a subscriber or a patient that has Delta Dental coverage, you go in and when the hygienist, when he or she does the cleaning, puts you through a series of questions, and then if your score is 3, 4, or 5, you're entitled to be scheduled for an additional cleaning and adult fluoride varnish and some other services. And I know it works like a charm with me. I'm revealing my score, so my score is a 3, and so I get scheduled for my 3rd and 4th cleaning. So give us the history, Bob, and how did the 2 cleanings a year, which is probably a good proxy, but definitely not necessarily based on evidence. How did that all start, and what's your opinion on a more customized dental program?
Yeah, I have an opinion. Where it started, I have no idea, because there are people that probably could go, and this is probably not something I should say, can go for 2 years without getting their teeth cleaned, and when they go in, there's nothing to do. There are other people that need to get their teeth cleaned every month. It's a question of how they're taking care of their mouths, their own oral hygiene, coupled with DNA, other factors, medications, older people, dry mouths. Customizing something like that through a program like ours, a HOW program, if you do qualify for the 4, and you go, I mean, that's terrific. It's terrific for the patient. It's terrific for the dental office. It just keeps people healthy.
So it's a win-win. It gets you into the dentist when you need to go to the dentist. You don't need to go if you don't need to go. But if your score is 3, 4, or 5, you're entitled to those enhanced benefits, and Delta pays for it. So the dentist is happy because he or she is providing that service and getting paid for it, and it's better oral health, obviously, for the subscriber, and we have a number of employers that have told us that they've seen improved oral health amongst their employee population. And then over, let's say, a 3 to 5 year period, even though these people are correctly getting additional preventative benefits, which obviously costing more in the years 1 or 2, it's saving on the back end with fewer crowns. So it's a great program. I think, Bob, and we'll probably date ourselves, but I think that 2 cleanings was probably like the toothpaste company commercials and advertisements in the 50s or 60s and saying, go to your dentist, you know, twice a year. And that became the sort of the proxy for the plan designs that we now see. But I love the fact that we're now able to customize it.
Yeah. No, I think that was just an arbitrary figure that somebody, it's a good idea to get your teeth cleaned every 6 months. Well, it's not a bad idea, but is it necessary or do you need more?
Great way to put it. Well, we're so blessed at Northeast Delta Dental to not only have Dr. Bob Urban, but we have a whole clinical crew. We have our dental director, Dr. Donald Cox, who's appeared with me. We've had our chief dental officer, Dr. Mitch Carey. Prior to that, Dr. Shannon Mills. And now we have Dr. Joe Arante, who heads up our provisor program, which is what powers the Health Royal Wellness. So, Bob, thank you for giving us a great primer on mouth guards, and thanks for all that you've done for the dental community, not only in New Hampshire, but nationally, because I know flying around the country to do dental exams takes a lot out of your family and personal time. So thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for the offer to allow me to come in and speak to you again. It's always fun.